Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com, where we try to present all the news from around the world on independent pro wrestling. Tons of news this week. Unfortunately, Des Delgadillo, normally my co-host, could not join me. He's doing some stand-up comedy down in Southern California. Check him out on Twitter, at Des Delgadillo, for all the information. So I brought in the big guns, our senior editor, Jerome Cusson. Jerome, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well, Chris. A lot of independent news, as always, as we are approaching sort of one of the busiest seasons for independent wrestling. Not only is WrestleMania sort of a big deal in pro wrestling, but it's also the start of, you know, a big run of independent wrestling shows. You know, football season is over, and the weather is getting a little bit warmer. So a lot of independent wrestling companies are sort of coming out of their shell, and we've got a number of big shows that we're going to be discussing in the next 3 months. When you look at the schedule, it's absolute insanity.
No CM Punk news, though. That's a shame.
No CM Punk news, but there is a ton of independent wrestling news, as always, this week, as we get ready for WrestleMania weekend, where we're going to be talking about WrestleCon. We're going to be talking about the WWN live experience, Ring of Honor, Wrestling is Fun, and a whole lot more in this weekly newscast.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's really packed. So, people, strap in, get some popcorn. I'm not going to say it's going to be a long show, but we're going to have some information on this. Before we get to it, though, Jerome, as a senior editor, I believe there are some things you wanted to address before we move on.
Well, yes, Derek Walker, Alexander Torres, and I, we sat down and recently recorded an AEW podcast. We recorded that last Thursday night, and immediately after recording it, I knew that there were going to be some issues. There were some connection issues on all three of our parts with the internet, and, you know, really trying to coordinate three people who have never done a podcast together is just going to be sort of difficult. So I knew that I would have to sit down and, you know, edit the podcast down. There were a couple of things that I wasn't particularly thrilled about, that some of the conversations that we had. So I edited some of that, and, you know, I really spent some time putting this together on Sunday, and I think the thing that I was sort of frustrated with myself for was I feel like we skewed a little bit too negative on the show, and I actually re-listened to the whole thing this morning, and I still felt that way. I still feel like I think our criticisms are absolutely legitimate, and I don't blame, it's not Alex or Derek's fault in any way. You know, it's the responsibility is on me. You know, I'm the one that's been doing this for 5 years. I'm the one that should sort of understand how this works. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, Alex, Derek, and I, we're all three of us are fans of professional wrestling. We're all three of us are fans of AEW. I mean, that's why Alex is going to be doing the DVD reviews as well as the TV reviews. That's why Derek's going to be writing the live reports, and that's why, you know, I write for PWUpdate.net, writing my AEW reviews. So I think we're all fans, and I think the one regret that I have is that I was unable to sort of articulate on the show why we were fans, and I think we sort of skewed a little bit more toward critiquing things about the TV show and not highlighting the positives. But I think there were a lot of positives to the TV show as it relates to just sort of getting started. And I fully expect that the show is going to improve in the next 6 months. And I think that was something that was articulated well by all three of us. So what I considered, you know, taking the whole thing down and sort of re-recording it at some point in the next week or so, and, you know, or at least recording other parts to the show and sort of splicing it all together. But Chris sort of talked me out of it, and I'm glad he did. Chris has definitely made the right call. You know, I think there are certainly some things that I will improve on for episode two, and it is definitely going to focus on, you know, the positives and the negatives of AEW. I don't think we're ever going to shy away from that, and I would never ask Derek or Alex, you know, to behave in a certain way, because I don't think, you know, there are sports networks around the country that do that. There are political organizations and political channels that do that. And, you know, if somebody has a viewpoint, I want it to be their honest viewpoint. I mean, Justin Houston probably is thought of as a troll by some people, but there's no doubt in my mind that Justin Houston, whatever he says on Viva Chikara, whatever he puts in his column Rubbing Raw, there's no doubt in my mind that he believes every single word that he is saying. And that's really important to me, to have people who are on the site to believe what they're saying, whether it be positive or negative. So for the next show, it's definitely going to be a different show. And I think I think it's my job to really to bring out both the positives and the negatives that are going in AEW, because I think there are a lot of positives. The fact that they've been able to draw over 300 people, the fact that they have a weekly channel, the fact that 14,000 people from across the world really were watching the show, and people in Toronto and New York were sitting down to watch AEW on the Roku channel is very, very impressive and something that they deserve a ton of credit for. Just to be able to promote this show the way they have, sort of the grassroots way, using social media, I think is very, very important. I think the most important thing that we need to do is to really sort of talk about and articulate why we are fans of this product. But after, you know, I sort of thought about this, you know, I happened to look at Twitter, and there were some rather incendiary comments, I considered, by someone, and this is, you know, I'm not going to talk about the person specifically, but I think that regardless of what anyone thinks of what we do here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, you know, I'm fine with you disagreeing with us. If you want to send feedback, you know, mailbag@pwponderings.com. You know, all of us, we say what our Twitter handles are. So if you disagree with us, or if you have a problem with something that we're saying, you should feel free to always send us feedback. But what I have zero tolerance for is name calling. And I think that especially in the case of Alex, who is a woman, you know, calling her what she was called is completely inappropriate and something that I have zero tolerance for. So I have no qualms about blocking anyone from seeing our Twitter, from seeing my Twitter, if you're going to use name calling, particularly what was said to Alex. You know, professional wrestling has enough problems with sexism. And, you know, I joke, you know, I sort of joke around and I talk about Ring of Misogyny, and, you know, I sort of talk about companies not treating women well, but it's something that I take very, very seriously. And if this is something that is going to happen with someone who is going to be a female who is a regular on the PWP, then it's not going to be tolerated by me, and it's not going to be tolerated by you, Chris, or by anybody else, because at the end of the day, we are all pro wrestling fans, regardless of whether we like something we're watching, whether we don't like it. We can disagree, we can have our opinions, we can argue about these opinions, but there is no tolerance for any sort of name calling, whether you're calling someone, you know, an asshole, whether you're calling him a bitch. There's no reason for any of that. And I think it's based on the behavior of this person. And again, this is only one person. This is not, you know, this isn't 100 people coming in and saying this. But I feel like it's important to talk about this because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see fans be isolated out because of them being called names. That's grammar school stuff. That's middle school. It's not something that we at Pro Wrestling Ponderings have tolerated and will ever tolerate. And, you know, I am beyond tired of seeing sexist behavior in pro wrestling, and it needs to stop. And there is no way that I'm going to sit here and change the world. I can't wave a magic wand and all of a sudden pro wrestling is going to be no longer misogynistic and treat women like crap. That's, you know, but the one thing that we can do is we can set a model for everybody else. There will be zero tolerance for any sexism directed towards Alex or Jen or anybody else. And if you choose to use a name, then you'll be blocked from Twitter and you will not be responded to in any way. And I think that's pretty much it. And I personally am going to continue to call out companies when I feel like they are being sexist and misogynistic too. And, you know, if our writers are behaving in such a way where they're making objectifying comments about women, then that will be dealt with as well. So what I want to do at Pro Wrestling Ponderings is create an atmosphere having this radical notion of women as human beings. That is something that I want to put forth now, in the past, and moving forward.
Yes, and I fully agree. You know, this morning you texted me and you asked me to take the podcast down, and I kind of wondered why. And then during work, I wasn't able to check Twitter, but then when I saw what was going on, and it's just a very interesting and sad situation. You know, I agree with everything you just said, and I think us at PWP, we're all family. You know, we've all been fans. We've all talked to each other, either on Twitter, electronically, whatever, for quite a while. And even if we haven't been friends for a long time, and a lot of us disagree with each other, you know, we're all adults. So let's handle this like adults. This is subjective entertainment. It's wrestling, guys. Come on. No need for that type of behavior. So let's see, Jerome, going forward, let's talk about some news that happened this weekend.
Of course, let's talk about things that actually matter.
Yes, let's do that. This past weekend, of course, we have results all up on the website, pwponderings.com. Click on in the news section. You'll find results for Excellence Pro Wrestling, IWA, Mid-South, CZW, Ring of Honor, tons of others. We're going to talk about the highlights, though. At CZW this past weekend, Timothy Thatcher, he made his debut against the Party Peacock, Dalton Castle. Apparently was not as well received as some would have wanted. And I got to say, I've seen Tim Thatcher live. He's an excellent wrestler. Do not sleep on him. Do give him another shot. I promise you will not be disappointed.
Maybe not in CZW. CZW might not be the best place for him.
Maybe, but he is taking on Drew Gulak in FIP. So that should be kind of fun.
That is a much better use of his time.
I believe so, too. The Beaver Boys, of course, defended the titles against the Front Sozero and their newest member, Jaka. I don't even know what else to say to that. Of course, the Beaver Boys retained. Cherry Bomb, finally, she's reunited with Pepper Parks after he defeated Greg Excellent. Of course, then the duo then lost to Greg Excellent and Lufisto in an impromptu match. That's kind of fun. Other news, of course, first six participants for the Best of the Best next month. Timothy Thatcher, Bucks Belmar, Caleb Conley, Chuck Taylor, Lucky 13, and Andrew Everett. You know, Jerome, I'm just going to say this. Some of those names, I don't know. I'm not convinced as to why they're in Best of the Best. I'm not saying I'm an expert on all of them. Of course, Caleb Conley, Chuck Taylor, Andrew Everett, Tim Thatcher. I think, you know, obviously names that stand out to me. Lucky 13, you know, he's been with CZW for a while, so he does it. But Bucks Belmar, I'm not trying to call him out. I'm just saying when it comes to Best of the Best, this tournament has a history of being more the technical wrestling when it comes to CZW. I mean, guys like AJ Styles have competed in it. And I don't know, maybe I just haven't seen enough of Bucks Belmar. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, do I have to give thoughts? I'm trying to stay out of trouble, Chris.
Yeah, I know. We're not trying. Like I said, we're not trying to single him out. It's just Bucks Belmar doesn't exactly shout to me when it comes to style wrestling presented.
I think Bucks Belmar could potentially fit in with CZW's MO. Bucks Belmar is sort of a – he's not your traditional independent wrestler. You know, his gimmick is sort of that – I mean, I guess for lack of a better term, he's sort of like a – you remember Tommy Dreamer's gimmick when he would, like, drink tobacco juice and drink spit? I mean, that's sort of the gimmick that Bucks Belmar is going for, so
– it's raunchy for sure.
I guess I could see him fitting in with CZW. We'll have to see. I mean, it's Best of the Best. It's an opportunity to sort of take a look at some guys who maybe you would never otherwise take a look at because it's a tournament. You can sort of invite more people into it. So we'll see. If Bucks Belmar goes into the ring and craps the bed, then we'll never see him again. But if he turns in an impressive performance, then he'll be back in CZW. And I think the thing about CZW fans is that they are not shy about saying who they do and don't like. So,
nope. As no
one great opportunity.
Absolutely. Danny Havoc also announced that he will be facing Drake Younger at Best of the Best. And what is probably Drake's final CZW appearance? We talked about this last week. He's signed with WWE. So if you're in the area, guys, go check it out because Drake Younger obviously deserves this. But might be a while till you see him in CZW again. And, of course, the big news out of the show, the CZW Wire title changed hands. Shane Strickland defeated Devin Moore. They are going to be facing each other again at a ladder match for the Wired TV title on April 12th at High Stakes. So, you know, obviously congratulations to Shane Strickland. I think it's very deserving. We'll have to see where he takes the division. I think he's a very talented guy. Obviously, Devin Moore, he I'm not saying he lit the Wired TV title on fire, Drome, but I don't know. I'll be interested to see where this feud goes.
There's a joke to be made there, but I'm going to leave that one alone.
Well, let's talk about some more news coming out of CZW. WrestleCon, as you mentioned, it's going to be so much wrestling around WrestleMania, Drome. Go figure. They put out in the latest newswire that some new matches have been added to the card that's going to occur. Luke Hawks, Shane Helms, and Cassidy Riley are going up against Steve Carino, Matt Stryker, Adam Pearce. The aforementioned Sid Vicious and Doug Gilbert match is still on the card. Kevin Steen versus Masato Tanaka, Jeff Jarrett versus Colt Cabana, DJ High versus Masada, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae versus Sojo Bolt and Jake Manning. That's right, Sojo Bolt from, God, how long ago was she in TNA, Drome? It was quite a while ago.
And they also, years.
Yeah, and they also announced Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and more. I mean, honestly, kudos to CZW for putting this card together, but it's really interesting to me that they are getting, I guess, the ability to put on Impact Wrestling wrestlers. I mean, we've all heard, you know, what goes on when it comes to trying to get those guys on an independent show. This, of course, is also going to be on iPay-Per-View. So, Drome, I don't know. I'm pretty sure, like most fans, hey, this is kind of exciting. You're going to see Christopher Daniels or Frankie Kazarian on the independent scene. But I don't know. I kind of feel
when
like there's
going
to be some issues.
When did their contract run out? I mean, if Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian's contract runs are up by then I guess it does make some sense, right?
That is true. Yeah, I really don't know. I just kind of, to me, it was kind of shocking when I first read that. And I was like, really bad influence in CZW on an iPay-Per-View? That's going to be, and of course, it's going to be sold on DVD as well. So,
and this is the Saturday night show, just so it's clear. CZW is running their own show on Friday. This is the Saturday night show that is the most random card in the history of pro wrestling.
Well, Drome, this show is also going to have a Goldberg Q&A, a live Kevin Steen show, live Art of Wrestling, live $5 Wrestling, and a shenanigans party with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and more. So kind of sad we're missing out on that, Drome. Kind of sad.
I mean, that's fine. That's okay.
Hey, Scott Hall, he's a Hall of Famer now, so show some respect. All right, let's delve into Ring of Honor. Going to just pass by through some of these results. As I said, you can find them all at PW Ponderings. But Drome, you were there live. Want to get your thoughts on the live atmosphere. I mean, in Milwaukee, Chicago. Sounds like a great pair of shows.
Milwaukee's a great venue. I love that venue. It's great for multiple reasons. Selling beer is one of the primary ones. And just the decor, I think it leads to a great atmosphere, and the crowd is very loud. And they were really into the show the whole night. Nothing earth-shattering happened at Raising the Bar night one. Red Dragon still retain the ROH tag titles. The most significant thing probably happened in the opener with Jay Lethal winning with a lethal injection after a low blow and sort of teasing a heel turn with Truth Martini at ringside. So
we did get someone tweeted at us that I guess they were also at both shows, and they said that they kind of felt like maybe the Jay Lethal doing the low blow was because Silas Young was just he got the hometown pop, which you described as well, and then the next night he was still kind of, well, he's Jay Lethal. Do you feel like there was that way, or do you feel this was an intentional kind of adding a layer to the Jay Lethal?
I think it's adding a layer because Jay Lethal lost on night two to Mike Bennett, so that's how I feel it was. I sort of feel like it was Jay Lethal cheated to win on night one, and then he lost on night two. And I believe a low blow was involved on night two as well. So that could potentially be why.
Well, that works. And then, of course, the other, I guess, significant news is the Decade has a new member, Adam Page. I don't get it.
I guess he's the new manservant, right?
Yeah, he is the Shane Hagedorn of the Decade. I don't know. I feel that's kind of weird. I think it's too soon because they're all about guys that have been there a while. And Adam Page? I mean, he's a good hand and all. Don't get me wrong. He's a good wrestler. I'm just saying.
This is a good conversation for the Podcast of Honor, which is going to be coming up in a couple weeks. And I think we're going to really dive into the machinations of the decade. Because this weekend left me a little bit confused as to whether the heels or baby faces. I think that, you know, Whitmer and Jacobs were cheered in Milwaukee big time. And it was a little awkward for that reason. And I think the next night they were still getting a lot of cheers. So I think there is a little bit of a conflict as to whether they're heels or baby faces. And that's something that Ring of Honor is going to sort of have to address at some point. But, you know, I think the most important thing to come out of Milwaukee is we got some really good wrestling in the final three matches, the six-man tag. With Michael Elgin and the Briscoes beating Kevin Steen and the Young Bucks. And Chris Hero defeating Roderick Strong in a very good match, as well as Adam Cole defeating Matt Taven. Ring of Honor did something very smart. They had an opening promo between Taven and Cole, and Taven promised the fans that he would buy them all shots if he won the Ring of Honor title. So Matt Taven was cheered in the main event. That was a good thing for Ring of Honor. I think it was a smart ploy to get the fans to cheer for him, even if the fans are a bunch of drunks. But that's fine. It's all good. You know, they got the right reaction. And there was a TV opening filmed in Milwaukee, so I'm assuming that at least three of these matches will be on a future episode of ROH television.
Yes, at night two in Chicago, I believe you said the same thing, so expect to see some of these matches on TV. Biggest news coming out of Raising the Bar night two, Jerome, we have new tag team champions. They're also the PWG champions. They're the IWGP junior tag champions. They're the Young Bucks, and they can't be stopped. Jerome, how was this match? I can't see any way it wasn't great.
Best match of the weekend, no doubt in my mind. It's probably the best match that Ring of Honor's had all year so far.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I got to ask you this, though. The world title match, the Ringmasters Challenge, when you were tweeting the results, Jerome, part of me was like, oh God, I fear for overtime. And that's exactly what they did. Jerome, how did this come across live in the crowd? I'm sure the match was great.
It was very flat. The crowd really wasn't buying into Chris Hero as the next Ring of Honor champion. You know, I can't think, has Ring of Honor ever done back-to-back title changes, especially involving the world title? I mean,
not for the world title, no. Tag title, yeah, all the time, all day.
And I'm saying back-to-back, you know, back-to-back, tag title, then world title. I can't think of any.
Oh, you meant on the same show.
I mean, that's, if they have, then please tweet us angrily and let us know that we're crazy. But
yes, I almost feel like Ari's going to yell at us, but I'm fairly certain there aren't that many shows. Possibly once. I have a slight memory. I don't want to say it out loud, but I do think one show, two Ring of Honor titles changed hands, but I'm probably wrong. So,
and
anyway.
Especially because Chris Hero is the Evolved champion and he's not booked for WrestleMania weekend. He's not booked for the May shows.
Really? He's not booked for May? I thought he was.
Oh, maybe he's not. I mean, I know he's going to Pro Wrestling Noah.
Right, that is true.
Cabana, so yeah, I don't know whether he's going to be in New York and Toronto or not. So,
well, they put stuff on their website all the time, and then sometimes it changes. So I could be wrong. Maybe I'm not fully updated on that. But that is interesting. Yes, he is the Evolved champion. WrestleCon's going to be interesting, Jerome. That's all I'm going to say.
And I mean, I think the biggest thing is that Adam Cole already has a Ring of Honor title match announced for WrestleMania weekend against Jay Briscoe. He's got matches with Michael Elgin, with Kevin Steen. So there was no way that Chris Hero was winning this match. And I think this is where I think the problem with the Ringmasters Challenge really came into play, because nobody was buying that Chris Hero was actually going to win. So it really just felt like it really just fell flat. And I think it's unfortunate, because I think these two guys were working really hard. And the ever controversial Derek Walker did a nice photo essay on pwponderings.com, so you can go check out some great photos that he took of Chris Hero and Adam Cole this match. So you could definitely get a sneak peek as to what to expect on the DVD.
It seemed rather long. I mean, in between your tweeting, it seemed pretty long. Like, it could almost be one episode of Ring of Honor could just feature this whole match, and maybe a squash match in the beginning, but it would be interesting to see how they edit it.
25 to 30 minutes, I would say. 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, a TV show is only about 40, 50-ish, you know, depending on how many ads you
I
get.
Think about
so.
To go 50 minutes, who knows? I'm sure the tag title switch is going to be on one of the episodes.
It better be. We don't need to pull a TNA here. Anyway, let's move forward. More news coming out of Ring of Honor. Big news, AJ Styles, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and the current IWGP Heavyweight Champion, Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada. They have been officially announced for Global Wars and War of the Worlds. Of course, I mean, these are names we already knew were there, but still, pretty cool that Ring of Honor is announcing them. And then three new matches for Flying High Drome. Tommaso Ciampa versus the former champion Matt Taven for the TV Championship. Elgin versus Cedric Alexander, and Kevin Steen versus Bobby Fish. For those of you wondering where Tommaso Ciampa was, well, he was abroad. He was defending that ROH TV title, really making it a world title. Just to put it down in chronological order, on the 28th of February, he was in WXW. He defended it against Freddie Stahl. He had a match, well, two matches in Preston City Wrestling, where they do an afternoon and evening show. In a four-way, he lost to Martin Kirby, he had to defend his title against him later on in that evening, and of course that was also successful. And then on the 2nd of March, he defeated Chris Travis at Southside Wrestling Entertainment. All three of those promotions, as far as I know, released DVDs, so you should be checking them out. And I'm just hoping Ring of Honor recognizes them, but I think this is a really good leap for the TV title, and Tommaso Ciampa obviously making it a title that, I don't know, Jerome for me hasn't mattered as much as it could in recent years. So this is a good thing.
Tommaso Ciampa is great. So if he's defending the TV title, that is a very, very good thing for all involved. It can only help the title at this point. I mean, I think, let's face it, the TV title, when it was around the waist of Matt Taven, didn't exactly mean a whole lot. But I think with Ciampa going around the world, doing what he's doing, I think he's doing a fine job of defending that television title. And really making it mean something going across the pond only enhances that. So good on him, I say.
Absolutely. Last two bits of news. Ring of Honor related, not necessarily directly from them, but the Wrestling Observer reported that ACH, Kevin Steen, and Roderick Strong were all going to be at a WWE tryout. So I guess good luck to them. I hate to see them leave, but, you know. Hoping them the
Boy,
best.
that cripples Ring of Honor. You take away those three guys.
I think it cripples a lot of promotions, honestly. You know, taking them three out. But we'll see. And then the other bit of news, Davey Richards, again, just, you know what, I'm going to give him all the credit in the world, though. You know, he doesn't hide his emotions, he doesn't hide his feelings, he speaks from the heart, whatever. He had some rather harsh words in an interview he did with Brian Fitz of the Orlando Sentinel and BetweenTheRopes.com, which you can go check them out. Used to be a member there a long time ago. That takes me back. Anyway, he had to say some rather unpleasant things. Quote, but the booker, of course, being Hunter Johnson, is completely inadequate at his job, and he got his job more for being spineless than being talented. And the owner, assuming he meant Joe Coffey, is even worse. He could care less about wrestling. He just wants to do television. To me, it's just not something I agree with. But I'm not there anymore, and they do their own thing. And for the talent and the fans, I wish them nothing but the best of luck. End of quote. Jerome, it's Davey Richards. I don't know what more we can say about it, but still, some pretty harsh criticism there.
TNA drew for their pay-per-view, right? 1,500?
Roughly, and some are even disputing lockout? That number. So, yeah.
1,500 for TNA, a company that is nationally televised every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on Spike TV. Ring of Honor is set to do about 2,500 for their show,
yep,
and they are on in 37% of the country. So, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Davey Richards is happy. Ring of Honor is probably doing much better than TNA. They're not perfect. Ring of Honor is far from perfect. But if you were to put a gun to my head, I would watch 100 hours of Ring of Honor before I watched a single hour of Impact.
Hey, with the guys from New Japan coming over, I don't blame you at all. All right, Jerome, let's talk about...
You can take away the New Japan guys, and I would still choose Ring of Honor.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just saying. Right now, they're on a roll. Of course, TNA has the guys from Wrestle 1. That's kind of a treat. And I didn't see it, but a lot of people seem to praise the Great Muta match. So, hey, that's awesome. Anyway, let's get into this. Jerome, wrestling is fun. They're holding the Tag World Grand Prix 2014. They have announced the first two teams, 3.0 and Devastation Corporation. I know there's not much to go on, but hey, it's the Tag World Grand Prix. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be watching it. Obviously, not a lot of teams announced their aid, but Jerome, you and I talked about a little bit off air, fully expecting a lot of names that we recognize to be thrown out there for it.
It'll be a lot of Chikara teams, and this is fine. You know, my guess is that Chikara and wrestling is fun. You know, they're going to draw in fans who probably would not go to New Orleans, who might not want to stay home and watch the Hall of Fame or Dragon Gate USA. So I'm sure they're going to do reasonably well. And if they put together some quality teams, this will be a fun night of wrestling.
Yeah, I'm going to be kind of split, though, deciding on whether I watch the Ultimate Warrior go in the Hall of Fame or the Tag World Grand Prix. I know, I'm a horrible person.
The Tag World Grand Prix will not be on IPV, Chris, so you don't need to worry
about
that.
That is a good point. You are correct on that. All right, so that is the news for that. Let's talk about our friends over at High Spots. They are promoting a new women's promotion, Battle Queens. They debut March 21st in Charlotte, North Carolina at Club Hush. You can go to highspots.com, of course, check out some of the information. I tried to go to battlequeens.com earlier yesterday. It wasn't up for me. Maybe it's up now. But they have announced some of the talents: Taylor Hendricks, Sojo Bolt, Amber O'Neill, Kimberly, Mickey Knuckles, Leva Bates, Nevaeh, Amanda Rodriguez, and Heather Owens. So check them out. And they do expect them to air on iPay-per-view on highspots.tv. So hey, women's wrestling, just a lot of good stuff coming out of 2013. Jerome, I know you did a lot of those reviews. Is there possibly an oversaturation right now? Or do you not think this is going to be an issue?
I am in favor of having more women's wrestling companies if it gets some very talented people work. Because I think the reality is that, you know, I know that there are a lot of high-profile women's wrestling companies like WSU and Shimmer and AIW, but the reality is that there really aren't a lot of consistent women's wrestling companies. AIW's Girls Night Out runs 4 shows a year. Shimmer runs 8 or 9 shows a year. WSU is only running 3. Shine is really the only one that is running on a monthly basis. So I absolutely think there's more room for it. I think if there's support, then definitely. May I ask, what type of club is Club Hush? Because I don't know, man. I don't want to be sexist, but
no, yeah, I don't know what it is either. Jer Polk, our correspondent out there in North Carolina, tweet us. Let us know what is Club Hush. I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know, but anyway,
it sounds like a nightclub, but there's also the possibility it might be a strip
club. Wrestling's been held in a strip club before, Jerome. It's happened. There have been matches with CM Punk at a strip club. I'm just saying.
It's happening. And then he walked out.
That is true. So, all right. So, check that out. Of course, go to highspots.com. Battlequeens.com may be up by the time we're reporting this. Anyway, our friends this week in CWF Mid-Atlantic, they have a show coming up. We're going to be discussing that later towards the end. But they also have a show, Madness in Any Direction 2014, set for Saturday, March 29th. It is their biggest month ever, and they conclude it with the second annual Madness in Any Direction. They've already announced Eric Royal versus Marcellus King, who returned during the tag team tournament. Of course, Marcellus King is a talent I've been telling people to check out for quite a while. You have no excuse not to now, especially with their on-demand service being what it is. It's pretty great. So check that out. Lee Valiant versus Kamikaze Kid as well has also been signed. Big news coming out of Filsinger Games. Our own Dez Delgadillo, who, as I said, couldn't join us on this newscast, he got to sit down and talk with Tom Filsinger, though. They are announcing, Jerome, Champions of the Galaxy, which I believe is probably, I guess it's their cornerstone card game. You know, I'm not big into that, but they obviously, that one's from Ring of Honor, Chikara, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Evolve, but this, I believe, is their mainstay. They're going to be launching a Champions of the Galaxy live event, and they have started a Kickstarter. So before we get into some of those details, why don't you hear about it all? Dez Delgadillo, he sat down with Tom Filsinger. Have a listen to it, and then we'll come back for a little bit more updates.
You're listening to the weekly newscast exclusively here at pwponderings.com. For the last 25 years, Filsinger Games has taken the world of imaginative wrestling fans by storm. You may know Filsinger Games from some of their more recent projects, card games based on some of our favorite promotions, Ring of Honor, Chikara, CZW, and most recently, Evolve. But a game that has captivated Filsinger fans for almost three decades is the wrestling sci-fi hybrid Champions of the Galaxy. Game creator Tom Filsinger is on the line. And Tom, in an endearing way, I've always thought of you as a creative mad scientist. And when a mad scientist invents something as innovative as Champions of the Galaxy, it's only a matter of time until that creation comes to life, right?
Yeah. You mean like we're going to send bolts of electricity through it and really have it grow and take over the universe, right?
It's alive. That's right. It's going to come to life on July 11th.
Yeah. Oh, you know, that's the most amazing thing. And you got to give all the credit here to Jeff Guthers and, the tournament master, Todd, because they just pulled this thing together. They told me about this, it might even be a year ago now. I don't remember. And I thought, geez, I wonder if they can do this. Well, they're doing it. And, that's a pipe dream. I mean, imagine that. Here's a game that was first advertised in PWI in 1986. And here it's 2014, and we might finally see the characters performing live and in the flesh. So they've made my dreams come true, and I can't say enough for Todd and Jeff and the fans that support us.
There's a Kickstarter project up right now. I just Googled Champions of the Galaxy Kickstarter, and it's the first result. You can click that project and you can back and support this thing. The goal is to, again, have a live Champions of the Galaxy event. Tom, how surreal is it? You're thinking up this game in the mid-80s and thinking up the idea of a sci-fi wrestling collaboration. And now, 25 years later, you get to see not only people pay homage to this game and that has touched so many people, but you actually get to see the game happen in real time in front of you.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for it to happen. And I love the first guy that's been brought into this. Because, and you probably read about that. That's right on that page.
That's right. Alex Reynolds.
And he, to me, is the perfect to play Wolf. He's got the look. And Wolf is, probably the star of Champions of the Galaxy, even though when I first wrote it, I had to have a main hero, and that was Star Warrior, and a main villain, that was Phantos. I was still always thinking, I'm going to take the anti-hero, and he's going to be the hit of the game. He's the one that will draw the heat in this game, and that was Wolf. And so it's just going to be a thrill to see that portrayed at that event live.
It's really a thrill to hear about. You have the science fiction element, and obviously this website is all about indie wrestling, and those are things that we really enjoy here. Not only do you get to watch both things happen at the same time, but you get to watch some of your favorite indie wrestling athletes be a part of this sci-fi wrestling phenomenon, not the least of which, your first announcement, Alex Reynolds, who's cut his teeth in the New York Wrestling Connection. He's done some stuff in Evolve as well, now getting to play Wolf in the Champions of the Galaxy game. Tell me a little bit about some of the other characters in Champions of the Galaxy who we're going to see at the July 11th show.
What it looks like is we're going to have Star Warrior and Phantos. And my understanding is that, and this is a good idea, that you got another of the headliners from that first set is the Monsters, the Gladiators. You know, those were such a big hit, Brute and Massacre in the first set, that we've had gladiators always up to the current day that are the butt-kicking guys in this federation from the planet, the star system Aethra, which is the most testosterone-driven planet anywhere.
Sounds like it.
And these are all alpha males. And it's really cool that they're going to be in there. And I believe they're trying to cast the good guy team from the first set, and that's the Greek gods. That would be Proteus and Actaeon. So that's right now the plan. I think there's even more planned, and I can tell you this is a scoop, although it's only half the scoop, and that is that we've signed another indie person to be part of this, and it's a great, great signing. will announce that in the days ahead. It's just another really awesome indie star that'll be partaking in this.
That's exciting stuff. Half a scoop is better than no scoop, so keep your eyes. It's all right. Keep your eyes on social media, on Filsinger Games social media, and on their website, filsingergames.com, to get the full scoop coming up in the next couple of days. Tom, how involved are you in the casting process of these indie wrestlers? Is this something that you're overseeing at all, or are you
kind of leaving this up? No, this is Todd and Jeff's project. So it is them that have been running with this. They deserve all the credit for everything that's been happening.
So it's your approval, but it's them really making the magic happen.
That's exactly right. Yeah. These guys are so tuned in to what this is all about that, you know, their decisions are the right decisions anyway. They're great. You know, they bleed this game.
The premise of this game, or of this event coming up, which is based on the Champions of the Galaxy game, I want to liken it to the show that our friend Marion Fontaine put on a couple months ago. It was an extravaganza of wrestling exhibitions. And that was a wrestling show that was set in the 1920s. Take this, and you're instead of going backwards, you're going into the future. 100 years into the future, where wrestling is a galactic phenomenon. And this is what is coming to Jamestown, New York, if you pledge your money now on Kickstarter. And it's one of the most exciting things I've heard. I mean, Tom, did you ever think, was this ever a consideration for you that it would be cool to have this maybe be some sort of this cartoon or a television program? And I know you're in talks right now. You're in California right now trying to get this onto the big screen.
Right, that's right. And, you know, that's why it's so cool. It just seems like everything's coming together. It's like a Champions of the Galaxy year this year between the live event and a screenplay has been completed with a great screenwriter named Mark Litton, who I met here in L.A. a few years ago. He did some writing for Power Rangers and Tron. And so, you know, he was somebody that I thought had the perfect background to write Champions of the Galaxy. But more than that, we became friends and we had the same vision. And so I love this script. The final script is done. And it's getting into the hands of some people around here in Hollywood and some producers. And, you know, you don't know. You know, it's tough to get a green light, you know, because that requires a big budget, especially a project like Champions of the Galaxy would be. But, you know, we're in the ballgame. And then people wanted to see the script. And they know about the fan base and they know about the history. And, you know, they get excited about that because what they want, you know, here in Hollywood is to be able to make a movie or a TV show where you can just keep doing it, you know, where there's characters and stories just waiting to be put on. And here, well, we've got 20-some years of it. So there's no dearth of that. So we're ready to go. And I hope to be able to give you great news by the end of the year, and I hope that you can accompany me to the Academy Awards in 2014 or 15 to celebrate.
That's right. What an adventure that'll be. Tom Filsinger on the red carpet.
Yeah. And I want, we're going to take it over. You know, we're just going to take it over. We're going to have the gladiators come in, and it's going to be our show.
So tell me about, how do you imagine, you know, nothing's finalized, nothing's done, but how do you imagine the movie? Do you imagine it being more of a cartoon, an animated feature, or do you imagine a live-action affair?
Oh, it's a live-action one. Now, by the way, I think it could be. And one of the people I met likes the idea of it for a cartoon, so that's not been ruled out. But the primary direction is movie, live action movie. And I've pictured in my mind a million times, especially when I'm reading over the script. I can envision it. It would just be a knockout. It would be just incredible. So let's just hope we can get people to believe in it and to produce it. And I want to keep our fans and people talking about it so they see interest, too.
Now, let me tell you, you can get more live action than live action, which could happen July 11th in Jamestown, New York, if you pledge to that Kickstarter right now. It just went up, so make sure you start getting those donations in and letting people know that you're invested in Filsinger Games. Tom, I wanted to ask you, I wanted to put you on the spot here. over the years, your universe, it's a universe that you've created along with your artists and all these great characters that have come out of Champions of the Galaxy. It's your universe. It's your baby, Tom. I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Two names, one wrestler from your universe and one wrestler from the current day to have a dream match. Who are they going to be?
Okay. One of the classic guys versus one of the new guys?
That's right.
Wow. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to take, I guess, what I consider to be kind of the two edgy anti-heroes of those eras. So I'm going to go with Wolf from the first set. I always go with Wolf whenever any type of question comes up. I just really love that character. And I might have him go against Shane today. You know, Shane's from Earth. You know, what we brought in. We hadn't had an Earth wrestler in a long time.
Right.
So in 21-29, we brought in Shane, a kind of a cowboy. And he's, you know, I think I'd like to see them go against each other.
Now, which of those...
It'd be a good match.
Yeah. Now, which of those two from your universe, the Champions of the Galaxy universe, which of those two would you pick to face one current modern wrestler from you know, from the TV and things like that?
Oh,
that's
oh,
a tough
be
one,
really
isn't?
Cool. Boy, you know, I could really go on forever because I sit there and I say to myself, all right, if I think of this wrestler, like Daniel Bryan, who would I want to pit against him? Or, you know, this one over here, Kevin Steen, who would I pit against him? So, that's a good question. And I will go with... I'm thinking too hard about this. You know, I'm thinking too hard. Let me think of WrestleMania, since that's coming up.
All right.
What's the main event match?
Well, we got Randy Orton and Batista in the main event there. You've got Daniel Bryan and Triple H.
All right.
Those are your two big ones.
Okay, let's say I would stick Wolf into any of those and make it a triple threat.
Triple
match.
Threat. Excellent choice, sir. Especially the main event there could use Wolf involved, trust me.
yeah, that could be. So, yeah, I put Wolf in there. That would be it.
But the beauty is, Tom, with Filsinger Games, the whole point is you don't have to think so hard because you can make those dream matches yourself. Isn't that right?
Yeah. You know, when I'm playing, you know, I after all these years, I always still play a Champions of the Galaxy Federation of my own with my champions, my feuds. And I played the 21-29 set, which is the most recent one, Black Death. And I just never ran out of ideas. And what I mean is, naturally I created it. That's the creator side. But when I start playing, then I become a fan. And I play the way the fans play. I let the feuds kind of run their course. And let's say this match ended this way. And I couldn't have known that because it's up to the dice roll. So now I've got to be creative and say, what does that mean? And maybe this person's going to turn on this other person. And, well, it just kept going. The storylines just kept coming. But I finally had to stop playing because I always stop when I'm writing the next set. I have a hard time doing both things at the same time in my mind, you know?
Right.
Once I'm writing the next set, it's hard for me to go back to the previous one and play it because I already know what's coming now. So it kind of ruins it for me, you know?
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. The event on July 11th in Jamestown, New York is going to be the launch. It's going to be the launching point for the 25th annual Galacticon. Tell me a little bit about this convention, because I hear about this convention every year and there's a rabid fan base there for this convention.
And it'll be bigger than ever this year. I sure hope you can make it. It's kind of an unforgettable experience. So, that started 25 years ago, like you said, starting with our greatest fans, you know, making the effort to come to Jamestown. And you know, because of the great love people have for each other, their support for each other, the sharing an experience together, it just kept going. And we often have had special events at these things, like special guests. We had Brian Michael Bendis come, who was a game artist of mine and now is a Marvel Comics writer. But, you know, we've had Johnny Valiant and The Destroyer, Virgil, gosh. And then I'd have to sit here and think, you can hear about buses come to this. But this year, I think it's bigger than ever. It's number 25, which is a celebration in and of itself. But then you got this wrestling card. It's going to have the Champions of the Galaxy matches, but it's also going to have a full card after that of indie action. If anybody is interested in seeing like a kind of pop culture history made with Champions of the Galaxy being live, or that loves indie wrestling or both, I think they ought to plan on coming to Jamestown on July 11th. It's not far from Buffalo, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, a lot of places in New York. So we hope to see people there.
Also got to say is I don't make a living off making superlative statements, but this could very well be the most exciting wrestling show of all time. And it can happen because of you. Because of you on Kickstarter, making your donations, making those pledges. Just search Champions of the Galaxy Kickstarter and start donating now, because you can tell your friends in a couple of years, in a couple decades, you can tell them, I was part of making wrestling history. And it's all because of me and the guys over at Filsinger Games. Ain't that right, Tom?
That is right. You know, you've seen The Wrestler, you know, the movie. A lot of people have seen that movie, and they've heard about it. And at the very beginning, I don't know if people remember, they have to watch for it. Our ad is featured for Champions of the Galaxy, is featured right at the beginning of that movie while the credits are running. So, you know, we're acknowledged as being part of wrestling history, and I'm very proud of that.
You can follow the revolution as it happens at Filsinger Games on Twitter. Tom, I know you're active as well at Tom Filsinger. And I hope you have a wonderful time in California. And again, I do hope you come out to PWG on March 28th, because it's going to be great times as always.
Hey, thanks. And continue to remind me of that, because I sometimes manage to get myself pretty busy. But if you're going to be there, you know, I might make it a point to show up. Maybe I'll do a run-in as the Dark Menace. You never know.
Oh, there you go. Tom Filsinger running. Well, thanks for making a run-in here on the PWP Weekly Newscast, sir.
All right, so we want to thank Tom for sitting down with Dez and talking about it. Jerome, I know you and I don't necessarily get into a lot of the card game kind of stuff. Kevin Ford, I believe his new fan event with Todd talks about it, and I also think he's going to be reviewing a couple of their previous decks on PWP. But you know what? This is kind of cool. I mean, for anyone that's into that, into comic books, I mean, they're pretty much bringing their Champions of Galaxy card game to life. So you can check that out, and you can donate at the Kickstarter. Jerome, do you have any thoughts on this? I mean, it's interesting. It's different, you know. Some people have even equated it to me to the old timey wrestling shows, and just that it's professional wrestling, but it's different.
I certainly hope that people support this. You know, I think Filsinger Games has done a lot of really great things for independent wrestling. And I think, you know, most importantly, independent wrestling really can't put out action figures per se, but this is sort of a way to get collectors and, you know, to sort of put a product out about independent wrestling and to really show some love. So very much in favor of this.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun. So thanks, everyone. You'll find the information for this in the information for this podcast. All right, last bit of news coming up. AAW, they've announced March 21st for their 10-year anniversary event. OI4K, the Irish Airborne, up against Men of the Year, Michael Elgin and Ethan Page, with the tag titles on the line. That's a big match, Jerome. Kind of looking forward to that. They've also announced Merrick Bray versus Knight Wagner and Heidi Loveless versus Silesia Sparks. And then at Take No Prisoners, which takes place March 29th in Pontiac, Illinois, they've already announced the heavyweight championship is on the line. Shane Hollister with Scarlett versus Michael Elgin. And the Heritage Championship, Matt Cage versus Merrick Brave. All Ego versus Lewis Linden. And the return of Rhino. Jerome, I assume you're going to both of these shows, obviously you being tied to AEW for quite a bit here on this website. I don't know. I mean, it's the 10th anniversary. That's obviously a big thing. But then to return, you know, 8 days later, I kind of wonder which card will be more stacked. You know what I mean? Because the anniversary show alone.
I think the anniversary show is going to be more dedicated to looking back on the promotion's history, maybe bringing in some names from the past. And I think the March 29th show, just by virtue of the fact that they're having, you know, the Heritage title and the heavyweight title on the line, two very big matches, you know, Elgin and Hollister, as well as Cage and Brave. Those are two big matches, and especially because they're debuting in this brand new market, and it's pretty far away. It's about a 90, it's about 90 miles away from Berwyn. So this is a very big deal for AAW. And, you know, I think that this has the potential to be something very, very good, you know, getting away from Berwyn, even getting away from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, and then, of course, as you mentioned before, 14,200 people watched the first episode on Matty G TV this last Wednesday. So by the time you're listening to this, it should probably be Wednesday. Check them out again, AAW Pro on Matty G TV on your Roku devices. Of course, if you don't have a Roku, you can check it out on YouTube. But I do think if you're in the area, Matty G TV, you never know, might be a channel for you. So, last bit of news here. There is a new NWA World Junior Heavyweight and 01 International Junior Heavyweight Champion. He is the wrestler out of Hong Kong known as Jason New. And I just wanted to preface this. When I posted this on our Facebook page, you know, we don't usually have a lot of international news up on there. We have been doing a lot of stuff with an Italian independent promotion. But this just kind of went viral, and we got so many views for it. I thought it was kind of crazy, so I think it's pretty awesome. And, of course, not a lot of wrestlers out of China, so I think this is kind of cool. We're going to see where this goes going forward. But Jason New, he's known for his stuff in New Taiwan Pro Wrestling, and I believe in the Hong Kong Wrestling Federation as well. So you should check him out. He's on YouTube. Go check out some of his matches. So, Jerome, some big events coming up this weekend. AIW's Gauntlet for the Gold 9 is this Friday. I think it's pretty big. Do you want to run down the card for us? Because I think it's a pretty good card.
It's a pretty big card. It's the Road to Absolution. AIW has put forth some very interesting matches, the most important of which for the Absolute title is Michael Elgin versus Andrew Everett. Also, the Gauntlet for the Gold itself. 30 men will be battling for a title opportunity at Absolution. This is a very big deal, and you've got a number of participants. And I think most importantly for some of the people involved is to get that main event spot. And as part of that, we also have Lewis Linen and ACH. This was supposed to happen at Absolution last year, but instead we're getting it here for the Intense title. We are also going to see Tim Donst and Eddie Kingston. They've been feuding in Chikara and AIW. But it's going to be settled in AIW. Tim Donst has been on a roll recently, defeating the likes of Michael Hutter, Danny Havoc, Chris Hero. Now he is wrestling Eddie Kingston, his biggest rival. And this is going to be very, very interesting. The Jollyville Fuckets will be taking on the Batiri for the AIW tag team titles. It will be Old Fashioned versus Old School. Marion Fontaine versus Tracy Smothers. Bobby Beverly will be wrestling Hashtag All Ego. Bobby Beverly, again, is sort of in the same boat as Tim Donst, getting a couple of big victories over the last couple months, winning a multi-man match back in December, then defeating Kyle O'Reilly. Now he is going to be wrestling All Ego. And this is a big chance. Bobby Beverly, they've really sort of given him an opportunity the last couple months. And what I presume is going to be the opener of the night, it will be Dicks and Flips versus Euthanasia. This is just going to be a very fun tag team match to sort of get things going. And this is really the start of a huge month for AIW, as they're going to be running this Friday Gauntlet for the Gold at Turner's Hall in Cleveland, Ohio. Tickets in advance are $15. On the day of the show, $20. Definitely go out and support AIW. And then Girls Night Out on March the 29th at 3 p.m. They will be doing Girls Night Outs 11 and 12, taped for SmartMarkVideo.com. So if you're in the Cleveland area or if you're within good driving distance, definitely go check out these shows.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be a big weekend for shows. Of course, FIP is also running this weekend. Two iPay-per-views, I believe. You can go to WNLive.com for all the information on that. There's some pretty good matches. As we mentioned before, the entire cards aren't on out. But, of course, it's Everything Burns Friday, March 14th, and then Ascension on March 15th, Saturday. And, of course, check out WNLive.com for all the information. And of course, last event that I want to talk about, CWF Mid-Atlantic presenting the PWI Night of Champions 2014, Saturday, March 15th. Doors open at 7 p.m. This takes place in Gibsonville, North Carolina. For the PWI Heavyweight Championship, Shane Hurricane Helms against Zane Dawson. Last chance for the Rising Generation League Championship, Chet Sterling versus Show Smooth, Chris Lee. Mid-Atlantic tag team titles are on the line as Mecha Mercenary and Michael McAllister go up against the Killbillies. For the Ultra J Championship, Trevor Lee versus Charlie Weston. And then Chase Dakota defends his Mid-Atlantic TV title against an opponent drawn at random. He has ever since he captured the title in October. And he says he wants to up the ante that night, and with the pool of names that he'll draw his challenger from, it will only contain current champions within the PWI organization. I described this last week in PWI Pro, very much similar to the NWA system. Have a bunch of promotions, including some across the pond in the UK. So there's quite a bit of talent he can draw from. So look forward to that. Of course, you can check out all their events on demand. CWF247.com. Very reasonably priced. Most of them, I believe, between $4.99 and $6.99. So go check them out. You have no reason not to. All right, Jerome, Kusan, I think that takes care of all the news this week. Why don't we let our listeners know what you have going on the internet?
Go to pwupdate.net. That is where you can find my Ring of Honor television and AEW TV reviews. Definitely support what we're doing here at pwponderings.com by supporting new writers such as Derek and Alex, supporting Ari with the Column of Honor, plus a whole lot more. I want to apologize to everybody who is on the Twitter machine and has had to read this stuff about the AEW podcast. I'm really glad when people talk about independent wrestling in a positive way, but in no way do I want this podcast or any podcast that we do to overwhelm the topics or the companies that we're discussing. So that's totally on me again. And I hope that we can focus on, you know, some positive things.
Absolutely. And of course, we want to thank all of you for listening and checking us out. If you are on Stitcher or iTunes, and from what I'm seeing, I think a lot of you are, please leave us a 4 or 5 star review. We'd really appreciate that. Get that algorithm going out there. As always, help support us by checking out our highspots.com or amazon.com banners that are up on the website. Or if there happens to be something interesting advertised on the Google AdSense, click on that as well. Really help us out. Help the website continue doing what we do. As always, check us out on social media, twitter.com/pwponderings and facebook.com/PW Ponderings. If you want to talk to me, reach me out on Twitter, CGS Tong, that's CGSTONG, and the same handle at pwponderings.com is my email. For Jerome, Kusan, Del Dio as well, have a good week, guys. We'll talk to you again real soon.